Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. You may not have focused on it yet, but come January or not long after, you will be a technology trailblazer in lighting. The trusty but highly inefficient 100-watt incandescent light bulb that's been with us for more than a century is going the way of the dinosaur by law. The compact fluorescent, once seen as its successor, has been kind of a dud. The new thing, the light-emitting diode bulb, or LED. It lit your alarm clock, your calculator. Now it may light your living room. But with what kind of light? At what cost? This hour on Point, the light we will live by starting next year. You can join the conversation. Are you still wrapped around your incandescent bulb, protesting the change? How important is the color, quality, and cost of light to you? Are you ready? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Special welcome today to our newest listeners on 101.9 WPBI News, West Palm Beach, Florida. We look forward to hearing from you there. This all goes back with the light bulb to 2007 and President Bush. Here he is, signing the Energy Independence and Security Act into law. It was a broad bill meant to cut down on global warming with new efficiency rules for oil, for ethanol production, and, in effect, mandating new, more efficient light bulbs.
The bill also includes provisions to improve energy efficiency in lighting and appliances. It adopts elements of the executive order I signed requiring federal agencies to lead by example in efficiency and renewable energy use. Taken together, all these measures will help us improve our environment. It is estimated that these initiatives could reduce projected CO2 emissions by billions of metric tons.
And boy, has there been a hullabaloo. Texas Republican Joe Barton introduced the Better Use of Light Bulb Act, or the Bulb Act, last January. Here he is on the floor of the House in July, arguing against the new LED bulbs on behalf of Americans who may find them expensive.
If you're Al Gore and you want to spend $10 a light bulb, more power to you. But if you're a young family that's just getting started, give us the option to go out and spend for a package of four or a package of six, the equivalent of 25 cents a piece or 30 cents a piece. We're saying let the market work. We're saying let people make their own choices. Why in the world does the federal government have to tell people what kind of lights to use in their home?
And it rolled on. Michelle Bachmann invoked the whole lighting situation in the Tea Party's response to President Obama's State of the Union address. Here's Michelle Bachmann at the Republican Leadership Conference last July, telling the crowd there proudly that she introduced a bill to roll back President Bush's 07 light bulb regulations. The bill failed, but she reintroduced the bill this year.
The whole issue about the human activity that contributes to carbon growth and all the rest, this has all led to these cap and trade policies that want to have government tell you everything from what car you're supposed to drive, the house you're supposed to live in, what light bulbs you're supposed to use. That's why I introduced the Light Bulb Freedom of Choice Act.
Light bulb freedom. And here's Henry Waxman, Democrat from California, on the floor of the House during that same debate, defending the new light bulb efficiency regulations.
The only difference between this bulb and the old one is it will last longer, cost less over the life of the bulb. American families will save an average $100 a year with the new standards, and it adds up to a nationwide savings of $12 billion a year.
Big savings nationally, big changes, at least in the lighting arena, very likely coming for your home. And at this point, this law is on the books and rolling forward. We're going to look at the options that are out there. What's coming? A kind of revolution in lighting headed for your living room today. Joining me first from Pasadena, California, is writer and journalist Dan Coppell. He wrote the big cover story for the September issue of Wired magazine about the revolution in electric lighting. The headline is "Let There Be LED." There's a link to the article, a demonstration video, and more at our website, onpointradio.org. Dan Coppell, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So everybody's assuming this is going through, right? January 1st, no more manufacture or import of 100-watt incandescent bulbs.
Yeah, we're getting a little down to the wire for any of those bans and strident calls for changes on the law. will generate. But even if that should happen, what's happened is the bulb manufacturers have ramped down their incandescent production. Big retailers like Target, for example, are no longer stocking 100-watt incandescents. So whether or not the legislation is changed, it's most likely going to happen, and we're going to see the end of that 100-watt incandescent.
100-watt effectively out January 1, 2012, and the 60 and 40-watt bulbs to follow, what, a year and two later?
Yeah, a year and two later. And then in 2020, a new efficiency standards are going to be implemented. That's the last part of that. And those are going to be very tough to meet, even for new technologies.
So why is the incandescent bulb so inefficient? It's been around for a long, long time. What's the problem with it?
The problem is that the incandescent bulb is actually a heater that glows. I say it's a form of fire. That glowing filament is really just the red glow of fire, and it gives off much more heat than light. About 90% of its output is heat. So as a lighting product, it really is terribly inefficient. And if you wanted to use them as a heater, well, they work pretty well for the old Easy Bake ovens, but they're pretty inefficient for heating a household, too.
We were joking about that this morning. Listeners may know that Easy Bake oven, I don't know, a generation or two of kids who had those, you can put the batter in there. They'll actually bake a cake just on the heat of an incandescent bulb.
That's right. And the that Easy Bake, that iconic Easy Bake oven, which is actually in the Toy Hall of Fame, is going away as well with the 100-watt bulb. And Hasbro, the manufacturer, is introducing a top-secret new Easy Bake oven that does not require a light bulb. And they haven't revealed what their technology is going to be yet.
Now, it's tricky, not just because you've got politicians like Michelle Bachmann who don't want to hear about the whole climate change thing, as she puts it, but also because humans may be attached to certain kind of light. I mean, you write kind of, you know, grandly here about an anthropological component. For 400,000 years, humankind has been banishing darkness with fire. And as you say, the incandescent bulb's still a form of fire, that burning filament with the glow of a flame. What about the psychological component here and how attached people are to that look of incandescent light?
You know, it's believed that our vision, our color vision especially, evolved to see well in daylight and by firelight then. And these lights have a fundamentally different color. And so it isn't that we won't be able to see by them. The question is whether we are comfortable seeing with them or whether they seem strange. And the compact fluorescent bulb, which gives off an unnatural glow. That's the curlicue bulb. That's the energy saver. Now, most people say the light is sickly or makes them feel nauseous. And that's because we're not wired to feel comfortable in that particular type of light.
Now, some people say that. Others are just fine with it. I called it a dud, primarily because it really hasn't taken off as well as people expected it would in the market. What's happened with compact fluorescent bulbs and their adoption?
It is absolutely a dud if you look at adoption. It was about 30% of the U.S. bulb market a few years ago. That number has been going down. Now, there are very good compact fluorescent bulbs that give off a wonderful light, save a lot of energy, and that even dim well. The problem is that bulbs are a commodity, and the light bulb manufacturers really made a lot of inflated claims about this being the superstar bulb when it came out. Those claims did not live up to performance. Now, even with the good bulbs, most people are not going to spend that kind of money on a better compact fluorescent. They're used to spending less and being disappointed, and so whether or not compact fluorescents are a workable solution, and there are reasons they aren't beyond quality, people have just lost faith in them, I would say. They're just the claims and the exaggerations have sort of spoiled the market for that.
So you've been out at the big lighting conventions, conferences, expos, where everything's being geared up for this changeover. What's out there? What's coming at us, Dan?
Well, the big thing that is the sweet spot is the replacement of the what's called the A20 bulb. That's the bulb shaped like a bulb. It's the standard light bulb that fits in what's still known as the Edison socket. I'm sorry, that's an A19 bulb.
Okay.
But the Edison socket is, there are 50 per household in the U.S. So there are literally hundreds of millions of these. And these new bulbs are designed to fit in there. Now, we've got LED bulbs already lighting our streets, our traffic lights, our flashlights, But to replace the Edison socket bulbs is a huge, huge undertaking and a huge opportunity for companies that are trying to do this.
But you've mentioned LED right there, and reading your story, that's the big thing. Light-emitting diode. This goes all the way back to the technology that lit up our alarm clocks at one point, and calculators, and all those little kind of tech-lit displays. But do they have lights coming with that technology now that will actually light a living room, a house?
That's right. The LED was invented in the early 60s, ironically, by General Electric, which is the successor company to Thomas Edison and one of the biggest bulb manufacturers. And it was very sophisticated for the time, but all it could do, as you said, is light your calculator. Over the decades, the LED has evolved to become a general-purpose light. And the last frontier for that is finding a way to make it work as a light bulb. There are some complicated issues involved in that, but we have figured out how to make an LED bulb emit a pleasant light. And now the answer is, the question is just how do we make it in a nice round bulb that throws that nice, wonderful shape of light that our standard bulbs do.
And how do we afford it? These may cost $20 or $30 or $40. And how do we get used to light bulbs that last not 1,000 hours, but maybe 20,000 hours, Dan?
Yeah, and that is a big question. How do we afford it is a real issue. There's no doubt that switching to LED bulbs can save over the lifetime of the bulb hundreds of dollars. They can pay back pretty quickly. But are people really going to want to spend $20 to get that bulb? That is really the big question.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about how we will light our homes as the 100-watt incandescent bulb heads for the history books. Starting January 1st, the 100-watt incandescent bulb will no longer be made or imported. How will you light your home? Dan Capel is with us from Wired Magazine. His piece is Let There Be LED. The future of light is the LED, says Wired Magazine. Let's get straight to it, LED. We've got with us from San Jose, California now, Brent Sharinow. He's Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Financial Officer at Switch Lighting. It's a Silicon Valley startup, one of the companies that hopes to snare a big corner on the LED light bulb market. Brent Sharinow, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us the basics first? How does an LED, how does the technology work, and how do you produce enough light to light up not my alarm clock, but my living room?
Well, Dan coined it earlier when LEDs first came out years ago, developed by GE. They're essentially a semiconductor chip, very similar to what's in a computer. And instead of producing cycles like a computer chip would for processing, they produce light. Over the last 10 or so years, the efficiency of LEDs has gotten dramatically better to where they've now gotten to the point where they can produce sufficient light to light up a room, as Dan was saying, with an A19 light bulb shape. The key
A19 meaning it'll screw right into your Edison socket.
Exactly. The medium screw-based Edison socket is the standard, and then the A lamp is that really nice shape that we're all used to. And then it comes in a number of different sizes, A15, A19, and A21 are the typical standards. But the light bulb that we're typically used to today is an A19. One of the key things about LEDs in regard to the question about brightness is that they have to be cooled. Just like other semiconductor chips, they get hot. And technology has been developed over the past few years, and we at Switch have developed some of that technology to allow the LEDs to be cooled sufficiently to produce the kind of light that we are used to in that warm, beautiful color that we like, as Dan was saying, and in the room-filling brightness so that the entire room gets filled up and we don't have these little flashlights sitting all over the room with light pointing up to the ceiling.
The thing that's driving all this in the law is efficiency. Incandescent bulbs chew up a lot of energy. What's the comparison between a LED light that's at or approaching 100-watt and 100-watt incandescent, Brett?
So if you look at a standard 100-watt incandescent, it uses, by definition, 100 watts of power to produce that warm light.
Yep.
The Switch 100-watt equivalent, it's called, and the reason we say 100-watt equivalent is because it's putting out the same amount of light as a 100-watt incandescent, but for that 100 watts of light, we are only actually putting in 17 watts of power.
What does that mean in terms of national energy savings if we get full adoption?
Well, it's absolutely tremendous, the number of power plants that can be saved in the United States and worldwide if light bulbs are replaced. In homes, about 4 to 5 light bulbs wind up using approximately 70% of the lighting energy in a household. So even if only 4 or 5 main-use light bulbs in each household were to be replaced, we would be saving many, many power plants that would not have to be built and many transmission lines that would not have to be built to carry that power to the homes. I think one of the key things that was mentioned earlier is the savings that each consumer would be able to garner. So if a consumer took the switch 100-watt equivalent light bulb and replaced a 100-watt incandescent, they would save about $150 over the lifetime of that bulb in energy savings alone per bulb. Quite dramatic.
But if I may, the lifetime of the bulb gets us into new territory for most consumers. You're talking about instead of maybe 1 year or something like that, typically, you're talking maybe 20-year lifetime for this bulb. Am I right?
Yeah, when we typically look at a light bulb at 20,000 hours with standard usage, it's someplace in the 10 to 15-year lifetime for a home. And, you know, it's funny because if you look at people moving approximately every 5 years, we are actually forecasting that people are going to unscrew their light bulbs and take their switch light bulbs with them to their next house.
That's pretty wild. How much is this going to cost, and are you really ready to meet the demand out there when 100-watt bulbs go away? I understand you're still hand-assembling these in California.
Yeah, so our first light bulbs will be coming out in a limited edition. They are manufactured in the U.S., and, of course, offshore is where virtually all light bulbs are manufactured today for cost reasons. So that 50-cent incandescent that we're used to purchasing, the majority of them come from China. First limited bulbs from Switch will be, as I said, in the United States. And we're looking at a cost for the first light bulbs in the $35 to $40 range. That cost is higher than we initially wanted and expected, but it's mainly because they're being manufactured in the United States and not being manufactured offshore. We are looking at a much lower cost version of the light bulb that will be manufactured offshore next year, and that will be in the $20 and under range. So if you take that cost and factor in the savings over the lifetime, as Dan was saying earlier, the light bulbs pay for themselves very quickly, 1 to 2 years, depending upon application.
Boy, so much packed in right there. Once again, we develop and off goes the manufacturing, and with it, the jobs. We'll stick with light for the sake of this conversation. Dan, you described 50 bulbs as the average number in a household. Now, here's Brett talking about $35 to $40 a bulb, 20 when they get the price down. But that is a big bunch of that's a big bunch of bulbs at the $30 to $40 to even $20 a pop. How do you think consumers are going to deal with this, Dan?
It's going to be tough. But one of the things that happened with CFLs, compact fluorescents, was there were government subsidies to get these bulbs to change. It's important to look at the energy savings. If we just talk about replacing all the 60-watt bulbs that are available in the U.S. that are sold, that's 425 million bulbs a year. The savings in electrical costs would be about $3.9 billion. Savings in carbon emissions would be about 20 million metric tons, which is almost 10% of residential emissions right now. It's a huge savings. So you could see government agencies actually subsidizing these bulbs, offering rebates, as they did with CFLs, because the savings are so great.
But how do we get this to scale? I mean, if really 100-watt bulbs go away, people still want them. Is there going to be like some Grand Canyon of supply and demand and affordability here before we work this out? Are we going to have dark living rooms sometime next year because people either can't afford them or can't get the supply in time? Or will they just be lit up with compact fluorescents, do you think, Dan?
It's open to debate. Clearly, they'll be lit up with compact fluorescents, except for those people who have hoarded 100-watt bulbs, and there are a bunch of those, because there are no good 100-watt LEDs out now that are even close to affordable or the quality we need. It really is a question, and I think even the most strident of the politicians against the bulb, against this bulb change, are probably right in saying we don't really know if we're ready yet for this. The product isn't really out there to make the one-for-one swap of that 100-watt.
But we're plunging forward. Let's go to our listeners, Patrick in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks for calling, Patrick. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I own a small business in Des Moines, Iowa, Vanity and Glamour Cosmetics. We need a lot of light.
Uh-huh.
This last year, I switched over all of our light bulbs. We had halogen light bulbs that were super hot, small halogen light bulbs that were about 25 watts each. When we switched those over, the new watts are 1.2 watts for those.
What did you switch to? What kind of technology, Patrick?
LED.
LED. So you've got your shop full of LED. How's it working?
It's working amazing. We went from about, I added it up, it was over 1,200 watts in total in the shop, and now we have less than 250 watts. It's just as bright. It did take me a while to find the right light bulb, the right light to come out. There's, of course, the blue white, and then there's the yellow white, that softer white.
Right.
I don't think the technology is there yet, but anybody who says or who's going to make a political game out of this to say it's not efficient is just... I mean, they might as well have gas lamps in their house if it's not efficient.
What about cost? What about cost, Patrick?
Oh, cost about $35 a month on average is what it looks like I've saved. I've only looked at the savings for about the past 3 months, though. So,
but how about the cost of the bulbs? How does it add up when you put the cost of these bulbs in there?
The cost of the bulb is more expensive, and it is something that I did not switch everything over just overnight. It was definitely something that we worked on. I'd say it was about 3-4 months, and every light bulb in the shop now is LED. It took a while to find like the smaller ones, the typical small halogens that most people see in like their their overhead kitchen lighting.
Yep.
It took a while to find that, just because I think the halogen itself, it's not made here in the U.S. All the little halogens that I found that were 1.2 watts, 1.5 watts, were made in China. And, you know, if people like Bachman or people like, you know, from Texas want to say, all right, we don't need this technology, well, other countries are going to one-up us if we don't get on the ball.
What about the quality of this light? You've got a cosmetic store. That's important for you. Is it working out?
The quality is absolutely amazing.
Patrick, you're breaking up on us, but we got it. We got the word amazing there, and I appreciate your call so much. Brett, let me come to you. I mean, you hear Patrick there in Des Moines. Here's on Facebook, Melinda writes to us, for folks who tend towards seasonal affective disorder or simply get down in the winter, this is a nightmare, she writes. The quality of light turns into a quality of life issue. Now, I'm looking at your bulb. It's on the cover of Wired. It looks like a jewel. It's absolutely gorgeous. That's a pretty nicely presented angle on it here. Sort of a little R2-D2 look to it glowing there, like a Star Wars robot, but lit up like a jewel. But what about the quality of that light? I don't know if I can tell from the photography, Brett. Is it like incandescent that we're used to? Is it different? What?
The light that comes out of the switch bulbs is essentially identical to an incandescent light. If you put one of our bulbs next to a standard incandescent, you really can't tell the difference between both of the bulbs in the room. So, you know, the skin tones that we like in the room, and as the last caller was saying in his cosmetic shop, it's very, very important that the light we see and the light that reflects on us gives us that nice, warm, reddish glow that looks like we're suntan, and that matches what people are used to, as Dan was saying earlier, with fire.
Frank writes online here that he's heard that they don't work, the newer bulbs don't work with dimmers, especially in houses with older wiring. What about that, Brett?
So that is true that some electronic light bulbs, be they LEDs or compact fluorescents, do not work with dimmers. The majority of CFLs today are not dimmable. Many of the LEDs coming out do have drivers in them that allow them to be dimmed, and the switch bulbs are all dimmable with virtually all dimmers out there.
David in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. David, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you know?
Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. What do you know?
So my training in school is as a lighting designer for theater, so I'm very familiar with color temperature and what that means. And so that's always been very important to me, even in my home lighting.
Okay.
I'm looking for a bulb that replaces my fluorescence that has that same warm glow we've been talking about. And it wasn't until recently that I made the shift to a lot of CFLs. But those CFLs, most of them, as your caller, as your Facebook had said, aren't dimmable. I don't know how about the switch bulbs, but I haven't got my hands on any of those. But I do have my hands on some of the more recent Philips LED bulbs that are out there.
How's it look?
They absolutely look and feel just like a fluorescent bulb.
So you like the quality of light, and you too are really attuned to the quality of that. You like it.
I'm concerned about the quality, and I'm concerned about the dimmability, and these do both of those beautifully.
What about the cost issue, David? Are you prepared to pay more if it's going to last for 10, 15 years more?
You know, I'll admit, probably unusual in that, yes, I am willing to pay for that. I think it's going to take government intervention to get the cost down ultimately. I don't know if the country has the stomach for that, but I think it will.
David, I appreciate your call as well. Here on Facebook, Ashley says the only complaint is the price of LED bulbs. I'm all for it, but, the cost. I'm all for a greener future, she writes, but why does greens carry such a bigger price tag? Dan Capel with Wired, what's the projection on that? Will these ever get down in that 50-cent range of current bulbs, or is that the wrong question to ask since they last so much longer?
I don't know about 50 cents, but they will become more affordable, as does all technology. This is LEDs are an example of a high-tech product, just like cell phones or computers, and we all know that the prices of our high-tech items have declines on a very steady basis. It'll be the same thing for light bulbs. They're basically the same technology, but as Brett said, they output light instead of data. And so those prices will go down. What's going to happen first, I think, and it's a strategy that Thomas Edison himself tried when he introduced his incandescent, was businesses are going to adopt these. Edison knew that if he could sell these to the Wall Street banks and the office buildings in New York, the rest would follow. And I think we're going to see, as one of your business owners who called said, people realizing how much they're going to save, and that's where it's going to start.
One more call for you, Brett. Here's Amy in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Amy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me. My question, actually, is when we first got these compact fluorescent bulbs, we were told it was more environmentally sound.
Right.
That not only would we save money and energy, but we'd have less light bulbs in the landfill. And then you suddenly had all these reports about there being mercury in the bulbs.
And indeed there was. There was mercury in those bulbs, and that was a problem, yeah.
And then you find out the manufacturing of these bulbs was putting more mercury in the environment. And it seemed to me we were sold this fraudulent sale of goods. We were promised a more environmentally friendly light bulb that actually seemed less environmentally friendly than the original bulb.
Amy, let me put that right to Brett. Net, Brett. The environmental friendliness of your bulbs, let's say, LED, very nice light and all the rest, kind of expensive, but even so, what about the net environmental impact? Amy's question.
Really, really important. Amy is correct that CFLs today have mercury in them, and it's going to be a bigger and bigger problem for the landfills. Our light bulbs are actually manufactured so that they have no toxic materials in them whatsoever. Our plan is to seek, and we are seeking right now, cradle to cradle, which means that every part of the light bulb comes back to us and either gets reused or put back into the earth as an organic material that fertilizes the planet so that there's no wasted material and no contamination at all. Our light bulbs contain no mercury.
No mercury. What about other, I don't know, arsenic or hard-to-get rare earths or, you know, we've learned to question very closely here, Brett.
And it's really important to question it, and that's really why we want the light bulbs back. The LEDs have a slight amount of materials in them that we would want to recycle, just like a regular light bulb has a tungsten filament, and ideally that tungsten filament would come back to the manufacturer to be reused because there's only a certain amount of tungsten on the planet. We're doing the exact same thing with our LEDs.
Brett Chernow with Switch Lighting in San Jose, California, and they've got the new product coming. You can see it in Wired Magazine. Looks great there. Brett, we'll look forward to seeing whether we see it in living rooms across the country en masse. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about how we will light our homes as the 100-watt incandescent bulb heads for the history books. As of January 1st, the 100-watt incandescent bulb will no longer be made or imported. We're asking, how will you light your home? Do you know yet? We're learning a lot today. Hope you are, too. Dan Capella is with us from Pasadena, California, journalist, author of Wired Magazine's cover story, Let There Be LED. Great images there. We've got some at our website from Wired, and it's quite a story they tell. Lots of information there also about bulb life and efficacy and watt equivalence and color temperature and all the rest. You may become familiar with all this in the months ahead. With us as well right now from College Park, Maryland, is Robert Friedel. He's professor of the History of Technology and Science at the University of Maryland, author of Edison's Electric Light and A Culture of Improvement, Technology and the Western Millennium. Robert Friedel, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Happy to be here.
You've looked a lot at the adoption of new technologies, how that tends to unfold. Now, we've got one staring us right in the face. January 1st, there may be some bulbs, 100-watt incandescents here and there, but overall, there's a big change coming. How does this generally tend to happen, and what do you expect in terms of adoption of these new light technologies?
Well, this is obviously unusual because very few technologies are adopted because the government tells you have to. So this is going to be a bit of an experiment to do it on this level. And I have to confess, as I listen to the conversation, I'm a little skeptical about exactly how that's going to progress. We tend to be notoriously incompetent at actually predicting technological trajectories. So there are lots of questions out there.
Well, I mean, if you look at automobiles or air conditioners or water heaters or appliances in the home over time, refrigerators, the government has come in and asked for efficiency improvements that I think over time consumers have been pretty happy with. So what's different here?
Well, the government has indeed requested or even required efficiency improvements, particularly for things that it consumes itself. But the sheer numbers of light bulbs and the act of actually banning an alternative, a very familiar and cheap alternative, when we don't even know exactly what kind of cost we're going to be asking people to take on for the new technology, that's unusual. I'm not saying I'm not in favor of it in the long run. The environmental and energy cost of lighting is indeed extremely high. Edison could never have predicted the scale in which we use light today. So I can see the virtues of trying to make some kind of change. The question is exactly how do we do it as a society?
How did Thomas Edison handle this kind of cultural evolution and technology evolution from gas lighting to his what was then brand new electric product, Professor Friedel?
Edison very explicitly used the gas light, which was a very advanced technology for its day. After all, we're talking about whale oil lamps and candles. So gas was the advanced technology, and he used that very explicitly as his model. In fact, he designed the electric light. He could have designed it in a variety of ways, but he designed it to produce exactly the amount of light that gas produced, because he did not want people to have to adjust their expectation for lighting. He simply thought it could be more convenient, it could be safer, and in the long run, cheaper. But he did not make demands on people in terms of the kind of light that they were used to.
So he brought the new technology, the electric light bulb, at the same time was very concerned about continuity there and what people were used to. We can hear that in our guest that we just had from San Jose, California. They've worked a lot on making that possible with LEDs, but we are evolving here. Robert Friedel, Dan Capel, let me bring some more listeners in. David in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Thanks for calling, David. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. It's kind of trivial, but I bought the string of LED Christmas lights about 2 years ago when they first were introduced.
Yeah.
And I put them on the house, and brought the kids and the wife outside, and she was horrified.
Oh, no.
This is not Christmas. I do not like this. This is ugly. And I, you do what wife says. I took the lights right back off the house.
Oh.
I took them back to the box store and bought the regular bulbs. And, we'll put the old ones back up and buy another string. So are they going to come out with something that maybe emulates that kind of light in a Christmas light. I know it doesn't sound important, but
no, it's all in there. I'm glad you raised it, David. It's all in there when it comes to adoption. Dan Capel, there's a one step forward, two steps back with the Christmas lights coming right down when his wife saw them. What about that? You know, that's different from what you're going to put in your living room, but it comes back to this question of what people are accustomed to and how their tastes evolve or don't, Dan.
Yeah, it's hugely important, and your caller's point about his wife not liking them, there's a lot of research that shows that women make the light bulb decision. The husband will come home with the newest, fanciest, high-tech light bulb, and the wife will say, return it, that light doesn't look good. Christmas lights haven't moved to LEDs because of that. I mean, I think you're seeing about a 50-50 split, just judging from Home Depot last year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have, but some haven't,
yeah.
Quite right.
I mean, one of the advantages of LED Christmas lights is that they could be run on batteries, so you wouldn't have to run those crazy long extension cords. Another thing is that they, because they're circuit controlled by drivers, they could have controllable flicker and flashing. But your caller is right. Whether it's a Christmas light or a flashlight, people or a home bulb, people still like the light we have. And they're skeptical about the light we're getting.
So where do you think these things are going to intersect? Will the technology look more and more like the light we have had, like incandescent light has looked? Or do you think tastes are going to just bend in the other direction?
I think the technology will evolve. It really has evolved in a lot of ways. People are so upset over their experience with CFLs, which didn't look as well as they were claimed, that they're skeptical of any new kind of bulb. But I think that LEDs are going to improve in quality and the cost is going to go down. As they do, they'll find applications in Christmas lights and things like that, which are really a commodity right now.
Here, Dan, on Facebook, Jonathan asks, what about three-way bulbs, you know, that go 50, 100, 150 watt or whatever? He says, as near as I can tell, there are no three-way CFL bulbs. What about LEDs?
There are a few three-way CFL bulbs, but they're bad and they don't last nearly long enough because of the cycling of power. LEDs, I haven't seen any three-way bulbs planned, but it's because they have a driver. In other words, because they're programmed, it's really possible to make the LED do whatever you want. There are some LED light bulbs out there right now that, for example, have a remote control. They fit in your Edison socket, and you can use that remote control to pick any one of 20 or 30 different colors that it'll glow. So it's possible to make these lights do just about whatever you want.
Let's go to Bruce calling from Essex, Massachusetts. Hi, Bruce. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Two points. The first, for at least the next 6 months, incandescent bulbs are 100% efficient. The bulb converts nearly 100% of the electricity to either heat or light. There's some tiny inductive losses because of the AC current.
You mean 100% efficient in a cold climate, Bruce? You're saying it helps you heat your house?
Yeah, every watt converted to heat is one less watt to be supplied by the home's heating system.
Okay.
But that's an incidental. I'm an engineer, so that we focus on little
point
things.
Point taken. Yeah.
The main point is this is a typical act of a totalitarian government. When they can't convince the citizens of the merits of an action, the government orders the citizens to do it. Now, one of the previous callers expressed his thought that government intervention might be needed to lower the costs of this thing. We should know by now that what that means is borrowing money from China to create the illusion of a lower cost.
Well, but let me put this to you. Here's online. This is from James, Bruce, and he says, I was in China recently. There are CFLs all over the place. I don't know if it's because of cost savings or government policy. And then he says, surely we will be burning our incandescents patriotically one day when they come to settle the books. I mean, what about it, Bruce?
That sounds very nice, but it's sort of odd to offer an example of a totalitarian country in opposition to what I just said. Now, look, personally, I should say, I'm nearly 69.
Yeah.
I have more than 500 100-watt light bulbs put away.
Wow.
Cost me $125.
You
know, four for a dollar at the dollar store, because I just did not want to spend any of my life dealing. And there are things like, I have a building, just one building, I have eight bulbs on each of two floors.
Yeah. So you've got a lifetime supply put away.
They're unheated buildings.
Yeah.
The fluorescent lights don't come on when it gets down to 30 degrees.
Bruce, I appreciate your call and your perspective there, and I'm you are no doubt not the only one who's hoarded a supply away. Robert Friedel, you've studied adoption again. What do you hear? Bruce, you know, first of all, he says totalitarian, and then, you know, he's taken action. He's gone out and put aside enough light bulbs that it sounds like it might just last in the rest of his life, incandescence.
When Edison invented his light bulb, we introduced it, he was operating in a pretty open market, although even there he had to deal with regulators. He had to deal with the gas companies who tried to convince the regulators that the electric light was too dangerous. All of these things were always done in a political context. The amount of intervention that works or hinders the market, of course, varies from case to case. And I think we're just going to have to wait and see what happens in this case.
Dan, what do you make of the argument that Bruce has put to us here and his 500 bulb supply?
Well, I do agree that it's. It would be nice if the government didn't have to mandate this. I do agree that there's a truly debatable point about whether such things should be mandated. I'm not sure it's a sign of totalitarianism, but people don't like having things mandated. But the truth is the government has mandated energy efficiency standards for cars, for washing machines, air conditioners, just as you pointed out. And those things have benefited us. And people will save money. Yes, there's a big question about forcing people to spend multiples of the traditional costs of incandescence. But there is no question that these new bulbs will save money in the long run, period.
Chris in Hudgens, Kentucky. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
We're a homeschool family, mm-hmm. and we're dealing, you know, with many concerns that most American families are. And I've heard statistics just recently, you know, that poverty is at an all-time high.
Highest in decades right now, yeah.
Right, and foreclosures. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't think this has anything to do with saving energy. I think it's about government control. And my children and I, you know, we're listening to this. You know, their written schoolwork is already completed this morning, and we're turning you on, which we often do.
Great. Hi to your children. Happy to have them listening.
Thanks. You know, Abraham Lincoln, we were all talking about this. We love Abraham Lincoln, and we love a lot of his quotes. And he said, who said sense was common? You know, in the problems that families are dealing with right now, this just sounds insane to me. Just for our family, my son just did a little quick basic math here, 36 light bulbs, and let's conservatively say the $20 figure that the one gentleman said, not 40. That'd be $720. Not to mention, my son heard that dimmers don't work, which we use dimmers, and also that some old wiring. You know, and we're wondering, and I'm sorry, we have to be a little sarcastic or we'd probably cry. You know, perhaps the government then can start a light bulb stimulus for folks like us and other people, and this will all work out. But this just sounds ridiculous.
Well, Chris, the way it stands now, I guess we'll muddle through. No question, some of those prices are going to look daunting up front and be tough for people, Dan, who are unemployed or impoverished right now. On the other hand, you've got a lot of people thinking about the environmental future and, you know, and then long-run cost as well. We've still got some digesting to do on this one, Dan.
Yeah, and I predict, and I think it's almost guaranteed, that these bulbs will be subsidized. Whether that's a form of government control is questionable, but if it is, I think with subsidized bulbs, people will very quickly see the savings on their gas and electric bills, and their skepticism will dissolve.
One more call. Ted in Boston. Ted, thank you, Chris. Ted in Boston, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I'm in a family business. We're in the hotel business up
yeah.
and down the East Coast, Saunders Hotel Group. And I also, in my home, we've switched over thousands of these bulbs, first to compact fluorescent, and it were possible, the LEDs. And I'm sort of astounded by the conversation that the price should get in the way of this adoption, because really we've got a bait and switch here. I mean, people are giving us the toner and then taking advantage of us with the price of the target cartridges.
You mean with the current incandescent bulbs, they're cheap, but you have to buy them often.
Yeah, you've got to spend so much, and you've got to spend so much more to run that incandescent bulb than a CLF and a compact fluorescent. It just doesn't make any sense. I can't understand why people who are in the poverty line wouldn't want to spend every month or every 3 months buy a bulb. You don't have to buy them all at once, but let's do the smart thing and something that, from a larger perspective, we are talking about climate change and the impacts that's going to have on us. So there's even something bigger, but we can also save everybody can save money, and it's crazy not to do that.
There's the experience of thousands of these bulbs talking in a business. Ted, I appreciate your call. Ted says, get over the hump, and several kinds of savings on the other side. Well, we'll see how this all plays out. I mean, Dan, you're looking at a future where even bulbs may not be in the way we light things. You're talking about LED displays, I don't know, 10, 20 years from now. You may just have big illuminated wallpaper or something like that, Dan.
Yeah, I there's no reason the LED bulb has to fit in the Edison socket, except that we have all this gigantic installed base, and that's where people are going to be making their changes. But eventually, that socket will go away, and that will lead to more efficient LED bulbs and more versatile ones that can be placed just about anywhere in any form factor. I just want to point out, again, if you just look at the cost of bulb per bulb, yeah, it's high. But if you look at the cost of your energy bill, it's going to pay for itself really fast, really fast. Will people invest in that? I don't know, but it's a worthy investment.
Well, we're going to see a mass adoption challenge here, and it's coming right up. It will be very interesting to watch. Let's hope we can get to the other side with more efficiency and happy campers at the same time eventually. Dan Capel, terrific story in Wired. We appreciate so much you being with us today from Pasadena. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Robert Friedel, professor of the history of technology and science at the University of Maryland, author of Edison's Electric Light. Professor Friedel, thank you so much for your time and thoughts today.
Happy to be here.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.